get our Bibles and get ready here. And we've been learning about the subject of eternal judgment and hell. And this, we've learned that so far that hell was originally created for who? Devil and his angels that followed Satan in his rebellion against God. Hell was created to halt the angelic rebellion that was taking place in the host and that Satan was leading. We learned last week that hell is a literal place. Am I right? Has a literal geographic location. It's in the heart of the earth. It's not a mystical idea. It's not a figurative word for the grave. It's not the figment of somebody's wild imagination. It's an undeniable reality with a definite geographic location. Hell is always referred to as being what? Down. Because it's located in the heart of the earth. Hell is located in the center of the earth. Now, I want to kind of lay the foundation here by going to Ephesians 2 tonight. So I want you to turn over there with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And, you know, we've learned this before, but I want to review because I want to set the stage here for what we're going to cover tonight. In Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul gives us a threefold timeline that we can really break down history into a threefold division. Now, I'm teaching in the Bible Institute the eight divisions of Scripture, and there are eight. If you look and you go through and you see the different time periods and how God dealt with man. But really, you can also boil it down to just three. I mean, some of them you subdivide out, but there are really three basic, there's a threefold timeline, basic timeline, that Paul gives us in Ephesians 2 to help us place Scripture in its proper context and to understand different subjects that come up and that change over the course of history. We look through the Bible and we see how different subjects change as history goes on. For instance, we looked in our Bible Institute class at dietary laws, how God told Noah that he could eat anything he could catch, you know. And then when God gave the law to Israel, there were certain dietary restrictions, things they couldn't eat, things they could eat. Under Adam, it was a vegetarian diet. And then it changed with Noah, and then it changed with Moses. Now it's changed back today to where Paul said that every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. So praise the Lord, we can go home tonight and have baked possum if we want to, amen? And we can go home and have us some baked possum tonight. I mean, we're not under the law, buddy. We can have possum shanks floating in hog renderings if we want to. But am I grossing y'all out tonight, huh? Stanley Bates. Y'all remember Stanley and Lessa? He's taking my class online, and they live over in the panhandle, close to like the Alabama area. And he's taking my class online. And Stanley had to do a report for me for a class. And at the bottom, I guess he listened, of course, to the lesson that week. And at the bottom of his report, he put, "I have eaten possum." And then he put, "Yuck." He said, "I have eaten it." But anyway, I don't know how I got off on it. Oh, yeah. So anyway, so you got a timeline to help you put stuff in place, see, in the Bible. Because you look at that and you think, well, the Bible has contradictions. No, no, no. It's just you got to follow the timeline of history. Look at who God's talking to, who He's addressing, and the context in which He's talking. And so there's a lot of subjects like that. Prayer, you know, is another one of those that you look at in time past, a little bit different than it is today. We've got things that they didn't have in time past when it comes to prayer. We got the Holy Spirit inside of us. We got the Holy Spirit in Christ interceding on the right hand of the Father. We've got the blood of Christ that opens up the door and gives us complete access into the presence of God. And so prayer is another. So all these subjects, you see them change as you go through history. Now, the threefold timeline is very simple. If you look in Ephesians 2, notice with me here. Let's see. Let's go to verse 11. He says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in," and what's the next two words? Time past. Time passed, he said, "you were Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision." Verse 12, "that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." What he's doing there is he's explaining that in time past, God dealt with the world through the nation of Israel. They were the circumcision. And God dealt with the world on the basis of his prophetic program with the nation of Israel. There was a middle wall of partition between Israel. And as Gentiles, we were on the outside looking in. Israel enjoyed a favored status before God. And if you're a Gentile, you had to go through Israel to be saved. See, but look at the first two words of verse 13. What does that say? But now, in Christ Jesus, ye, you Gentiles, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know what? Did you get saved by going through Israel? Yes or no? No, you got saved by going through who? Jesus Christ. You went straight to Jesus, didn't you? You didn't have to go through Israel. That's because there was a change dispensationally. God changed the dispensational setting. And so now we live in the but now period where Israel's prophetic program has been temporarily suspended. And now God is forming something altogether new today. He's forming the church, the body of Christ. And we're not living under Israel's prophetic program. We're living in the mystery program that we've been learning about in Colossians on Wednesday night that God revealed through Paul. And now today, there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. There's no favored status for the Jew today. No, we're all, boy, I tell you what, Calvary just kind of leveled the playing field, amen? And so now because of Calvary, he deals with individuals. He's not dealing through nations. He's dealing with individuals. And then the next thing there is he kind of hit this one up front to kind of show you where it's all heading. Then he's going to go back and show you how we got there. So he says in verse 7 that in the, now where are we at? Ages to come. Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, God's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, when we talk about the ages to come, that deals with the events that are going to happen after the present dispensation of grace ends. God's going to resume his prophetic program with Israel. He's going to bring it to its fulfillment. So look up here. This is setting the stage now for hell because we're going to see hell is going to change a little bit dispensationally. Okay, so now listen. You've got time past. Okay, you got the law. You got Israel enjoying a favored status. You got the Gentiles kind of on the outside looking in. You've got God dealing with the world through a nation on the basis of his prophetic program with Israel. And that's time past, okay? And now you come to the but now, and in the but now, you know what? You just put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God puts you as part of the body of Christ. He's forming something new, the body of Christ today. Israel's program's been suspended temporarily. But once we're taken out at the rapture, that prophetic time clock begins ticking again. God's going to pick up his prophetic dealings with the nation of Israel, and we call that the ages to come program. So you got the time past program, the but now program we're living in, and then we're gone, and you got the ages to come program. Now, you're going to find that hell is a little bit different in time past than it is in the but now. And it's going to change again in the ages to come a little bit. So hopefully tonight, we're going to cover hell, time past, and in the but now. Next week, we're going to cover the ages to come and what's going to happen out there in the future, okay? So first of all, let's examine hell in the time past time period, okay? Now, we mentioned last week that Jonah, if you remember, if you were here, Jonah, the prophet Jonah, and Jesus himself were said to have gone to the place called hell. Jonah in Jonah 2:1 said that in hell he cried unto the Lord. Now go over with me to, let's go over to Acts chapter number 2. You're in Ephesians. Just go to the left back to Acts in the New Testament. Okay. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter number 2. And the Bible says that Jesus said the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights, listen, in the heart of the earth. Well, wait a minute, where's hell? It's in the heart of the earth. Well, that matches Acts 2. Look what's said here in Acts 2:25. For David speaketh concerning him. About he spoke concerning Christ. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because, look at this, he's prophetically speaking of Christ, and he's applying this now looking back to the resurrection of Christ. Verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul, look what it says about Jesus, where? In hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One, that's Jesus, to see corruption. Let's go down to verse number 31. He's seeing this, David seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left, where, church? In hell. Neither did his flesh see corruption. So according to the Bible and according to what Peter said on the day of Pentecost and according to Old Testament prophecy, where did Jesus go when his body was in the tomb? Where did his soul go? You say, whoa, it's blowing my mind. This is a little bit odd, Pastor Dan. Jesus and Jonah, the prophet, how could their souls go to hell? Well, it's important to understand this. There's one Greek word for hell that's called Hades. Okay, now, Hades, in time past, was composed of two compartments. I brought up a chart. I think we have it again. We'll go ahead and bring it up. And there hell was composed of two compartments in time past. There was what we call the torment side, and then there was what we call the paradise side. The torment side was where the lost went. Torment side was where the lost people in time past went. Paradise was the side where the saints went in time past. We're going to explain why here in a moment. But David said in Psalm 16:10, speaking of Christ prophetically, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And we see Peter quoting that on the day of Pentecost. Now, you look at this. Okay, that's all right. I don't have my laser. I don't know. It's not up here. But anyway, Jesus told the thief on the cross. You may remember what he said to that thief that believed. He said, today. Good. Now, he said that in Luke 23:43. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, where did Jesus go? He went to the heart of the earth. There's a paradise side here of in the heart of the earth. Okay, it's called hell. The whole thing is called hell. But there's a paradise side. There's a torment side. Go to Ephesians 4 real quick. Let me show you something there. I should have had you keep your finger there. Ephesians 4. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You know, just throw it. No, I'm just kidding. Ephesians, we don't want a bean mark in the head and back of the head. Ephesians 4, look at verse 9. Speaking of Christ, it says, now that he ascended, how many of you believe Christ ascended? Say amen. Amen. He's at the right hand of the Father, right? Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also, what? Descended first into the lower parts of the earth. There you go. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Now look up here. If you were a lost person in time past, in the time past program, okay, your soul would go to the torment side of hell. Go to Luke 16. Jesus is going to describe this. Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19. There, now it says, Jesus said, now there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Okay, Jesus never used proper names if it was a parable. People will try to tell you this is a parable, and it's not a true story. But he never used proper names, okay, in a parable. This is not a parable. This is a real story about a rich dude and a guy named Lazarus, okay? It says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels. Look at this. His spirit was carried. His body went to the grave or wherever it went. But his soul, his spirit, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's that right up there. It's that paradise side down in the heart of the earth. And it says here that the rich man also died and was buried. So his body's buried. But where is he at? I said the rich man's body is buried, but where is he at? Where is his conscious spirit at? Verse 23. Okay, the rich man. I'm talking about the rich man now, not Lazarus. The rich man, verse 23, in hell, he lift up his eyes being what? In torments. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. They're in the same general area. They are both in the heart of the earth. The paradise side is called paradise. Here it's called Abraham's bosom. This is where Lazarus is, and the rich man is over here on the torment side. Okay, look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Notice there is a side of comfort, then there's a side of torment. Look at verse 26. And beside all this, look at this, between us and you, there is a what, church? Great gulf fixed. So now look up here. Lazarus sitting up in third heaven. There's no way there would have been any communication. They are both in the heart of the earth. They are both down here in this place called Hades or hell. But we see that Lazarus and Abraham are over here on the paradise side. We see that Abraham and Lazarus are on the paradise side. The rich man is over here on the torment side. Let's keep reading. There's a great gulf between them. He said, so, verse 26, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You notice he didn't say there's a great gulf so that the folks over there can't come to us and we can't come to you. Why would anybody on the paradise side want to go over there, right? So so verse 27, then said he, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren. I got five brothers. Send Lazarus, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they got the Bible. They got God's law. Let them hear them. They got God's written word. Let them hear the Bible. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. Man, if somebody would show up from the dead, they would repent. Look at verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You say, Pastor Dan, let me ask you a question, because I know some of you are asking this right now. Why didn't the souls of the saints go straight to the third heaven back then in the time past program? Why didn't the saints go straight to heaven? And here's why. Because the way had not been made yet. The sin issue had not been completely and totally dealt with by the cross work of Jesus Christ. You see, there had not yet been a fully satisfying sacrifice for time past sins. Go to Romans 3 real quickly. Romans chapter 3. Okay, it's right after Acts. Romans 3. Let me show you this. There had not been a fully satisfying sacrifice for time past sins yet. Look at Romans 3. Paul's laying out the gospel here. And he says in verse 24, Romans 3:24, He says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth. God set Jesus Christ forth to be a propitiation. That word propitiation means a completely satisfying sacrifice. God sent Christ to be a propitiation, a completely satisfying sacrifice, look at it, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission, the taking away of sins that are what? Past. Notice, through the forbearance of God. Now look up here. That word forbearance, you notice that word? The word forbearance carries the idea of the extension of time for the payment of a debt. The extension of time for the payment of a debt. Now listen closely. God's forbearance had a system in time past of animal sacrifices that brought temporary forgiveness, not through the animal blood, okay, but on the basis of God's forbearance. There was a system in that Old Testament economy where a believer's sins would be temporarily covered, but they could not be washed and taken completely away. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10, okay? Great book. This really lays it out. Because what it's doing, the book of Hebrews, is orienting a Jew from the time past program to the program that they're going to have, see, in the tribulation. Hebrews is orienting that Jew with the cross work and what it means and the change from time past to now. So in Hebrews 10, he's going to orient them to what the cross work means. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 1. He says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, the sacrifices under the law, notice he said those sacrifices, he said never, never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, he said it can never make the comers thereunto what? Perfect. Look at verse 3. For in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should what? Take away sins. It could cover them temporarily, but not take them away. Look at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, there on the cross, forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now look up here with me. God, here's what he did for those time past saints. God extended the payment date. That's what he did. Through his forbearance, God extended the payment of the debt on their sin because God knew what was coming. He knew the cross would take care of it all. So he extended the payment of that debt. Go back to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 15. It says, and for this cause, he, Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, notice this, for the redemption, the payment of the transgressions that were under the what? That's time past. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. When Christ died on that cross, I hope you're seeing this, okay? He made a payment that not only made it possible for us to be redeemed in the future, that payment also was made for the redemption of the transgressions of people that were in the time past program that were believers too. Do y'all see that tonight? Look at verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Okay, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to. Now this is what they didn't have in time past until the cross. He came and he appeared to, what's the next three words? Put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Woo! Man, that's good stuff. You see, God would temporarily cover sin under the old time past program. But the books could not be cleared until the payment was made on that sin debt through the cross of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the saints in the time past program, they could not go to God's throne room in the third heaven because the issue of their sin had not been settled yet by the cross work of Jesus Christ. So what God did is he held them here in the heart of the earth. He held them here on the paradise side of Hades until the way was cleared. Until the way was cleared by Jesus Christ. Amen, church. Now, that's the time past. You had two compartments in hell, in Hades. You had the paradise side, the torment side. If you're saved, you go to the paradise side. But that sin issue hadn't been completely dealt with yet by the cross work, so you couldn't go to the third heaven. Because your sin issue hadn't been dealt with. Sin hadn't been put away yet by the sacrifice of Christ. But man, I tell you what, aren't you glad things have changed in the But Now program? You say, how have things changed? Well, Jesus settled the sin issue forever on the cross. He made a full and complete payment for sin, and he left nothing undone. I said he left nothing undone. When he died, his soul went to paradise, to the heart of the earth. 3 days later, Christ rose bodily from the tomb. Then 40 days later, his body, soul, and spirit ascended up to the third heaven. Now go to 2 Corinthians 12. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12. We're going to get in now into the but now time period. I want to show you how hell has changed. 2 Corinthians 12. At some point after this, and I wish I had I should have had you bring it. That's okay. Look at the yellow line going up. Y'all see the line going up? Now that's his ascension. Christ rose from the dead. Point to the yellow line going up. No, not that one. The one over here by his cross. Yeah. Notice how the line goes up. I love teamwork, don't you? That's how Tampa won it today, right? Teamwork. He's a big Tampa fan. But the line goes up, see? And Jesus Christ is where right now? Third heaven, right? He's up in the third heaven, which is the throne room of God. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. At some point, From that line going up, let's go back down to the line by the cross. At some point, at that line going this way, at some point between that event, his ascension, and when 2 Corinthians 12 is written, paradise was relocated to the third heaven. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 12, and it says here, Paul said, verse 2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. We know he's talking about himself here. Okay, and he says, whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. He said, such an one caught up to where? So Paul's caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Now look at this. How that he was caught up into what? Whoa, you realize what you just learned? Third heaven and paradise are now one and the same. They weren't in time past. That means there was a relocation of paradise down here. There was a relocation, if you can get your laser beam, right there, paradise, the paradise side was relocated up here to the third heaven. You say, well, when did that happen? Don't know exactly when it happened, but we know it happened. Amen. He's caught up to the third heaven. So paradise is relocated now to the third heaven. So somewhere between the resurrection here, the ascension, all those saints back here in the time past program that were saved, Okay, their sins were fully paid for on the cross. The sin issue was settled. And if let me ask you this. If paradise was relocated to the third heaven, then do you think it's safe to assume that the saints that were in paradise were relocated to the third heaven? I think that's safe to assume, and I don't even think we have to assume it. Go to Hebrews. I'll show you. Hebrews chapter 12, I think, will help us to see this for sure. Hebrews 12, verse number 22. Hebrews 12, 22. Hebrews 12, 22. It says here, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, I'm sorry, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. He's talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. See that? The heavenly Jerusalem. He's talking about the third heaven, throne room of God, to an innumerable company of angels. So we know there's angels up there in the third heaven. Then he says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all. So God's there. And to the spirits of what? Just men made what? Perfect. This is referring to the Old Testament saints. He says now they've been, these Old Testament saints, God justified them completely because of the cross. Now they are completely clear. And God took them and He transferred them to the third heaven. Now all that's left down here in Hades is what? The torment side. See, the other side's been emptied out. So if a lost man dies today in the But Now program that we're living in, where does that lost man go? He goes straight to what? Straight to hell. Just like in time past. Here's where it changes. If a saint dies today, do they go to the heart of the earth? Where do they go today? Saint dies today, they go straight to the third heaven. Go to 2 Corinthians again. I should be telling you to keep your fingers in these places. 2 Corinthians 5. Okay, real quick, this is the last thing we'll look at. We're done. 2 Corinthians 5. Okay, look at verse number 7. Paul said, for we walk, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. Now you notice the words to be. To be absent from the body, present condition, is to be present condition, present with who? Lord. State of being. To be. State of being. You are with the Lord. It's a state of being. You don't see, what's my point? You don't, like a Jehovah's Witness would teach you, you don't cease to exist when you die. When you shed this outer earthly tabernacle and you lay down this old earthly tabernacle, your soul lives on. He did not, listen, he did not say here, you know, that to be absent from the body is to be annihilated, did he? No, he said absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You say, okay, I understand hell and time past. And I understand hell in the But Now time period. But what about hell out here in the ages to come? Pastor Dan, does it change? Yep, changes again. How? Next week we're going to discover that. Leave you hanging, all right? So it's good stuff. It's real good stuff. I've already written it. It's ready to go. Next Sunday night, we'll dive into that, okay?